Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. We are live streaming tonight on Facebook, and this will be going out on a podcast very shortly. So I want to thank all of our guests here. We'll get to this very important topic tonight, and I'm really excited to have so many activists from the city of Camden join us to tell us about a really serious situation with their water down there. We know it is a national issue, but hearing it close to home, I hope their appearance tonight makes a difference in the attention given to this subject here in New Jersey. But very quickly, before we get to that, we are coming up on 100 episodes here at New Jersey Revolution Radio, and it's kind of indeterminable exactly when we're going to put out 100 pieces of podcast material, but we're going to celebrate that, try to get it as close as we can. The 100th episode in Montclair on October 18th. We'll be doing a live stream show from the location. We're going to have guests. We've already talked to our comrades. Diane Moxley is going to be involved, as well as some other people. I believe we confirmed Heather. We've confirmed Chris, right?
Yes, yeah.
Christian Perez
has been excited to be a part of it.
So he's going to be a part of it, and we're going to have a number of other guests be a part of that. Come on up. We appreciate it. We need a little seed money. We put out a GoFundMe. You'll see it around. Please give us a few dollars if you can. We appreciate it. We're trying to make this thing bigger and better so that we can talk about the activist community more, so that more people pay attention to it, and more issues like the one we are about to address tonight start to get, you know, some focus. Heather, you have dealt with American, or you know a little bit of background on the corporation known as American Water, correct?
Yes, yeah. Let's start. Anyone that just listened to my podcast that came out on Monday, we touched on American Water on that, which was kind of what sparked this whole discussion tonight. American Water is a national company. It's chapter in New Jersey is New Jersey American Water, but they have a Texas American Water, and they're a water privatization firm. They take something that should be part of the public commons and try to make a profit off it. And then they take all that massive amount of money and distribute it to politicians throughout the country, Democrats and Republicans. Here locally, we have everyone's favorite out there in, what is it, CD1 Norcross? You know, is one of the recipients here in New Jersey. Also, Lo Biondo out by me is one of the recipients. They spread it across both parties and spread their money all around to try to get legislation that's favorable to taking away the public water rights and putting in private water, which generally makes people's bills go up at least 40% when that happens. And, you know, in Camden, it's just been pretty devastating what they're doing in Camden.
Yeah. And so that's what we're here to focus on. This is New Jersey-based Revolution Radio. So I want to get into the local impact. And Mr. Benson, Keith Benson, you are with the Camden Education Association. And you really took up some struggle here. Tell us about how you got involved and where you brought this struggle to.
So, thanks for having me and us from down here on New Jersey Revolutionary Radio. So primarily, I came across American Water, came across my radar. Oh, is that? Hold on 1 second. Is that? Sorry for the music. I don't know if you heard that.
It's okay. I dug it. It was a good beat.
Yeah.
I came across American Water when I was sort of looking at all these companies, these corporations that were coming to Canada getting all these $1 billion tax breaks. And American Water was one of them. Typically, these companies that got all these tax breaks and billions of dollars worth, it was posed as something that was a good for the resident, good for the city, and I can help move and propel the city forward. What ended up happening is, as we've seen, is that a new company comes in and, you know, residents have very little input as to what goes on. And ultimately, the residents are the ones that ends up being exploited and preyed upon. So I came across this article, I think it was like a week and a half ago, Philadelphia Inquirer, where it was talking about American Water cutting residents' water off. And that's distinct because typically the city, that's not something the city, when the city was running our water, did. For instance, when I would have to pay my tax bill or my water bill at the end of the year, like I would go and, you know, try to pay my bill. And one time I remember having a conversation with someone in City Hall saying, I want to hurry and pay my bill before I ever cut my water off. And the lady looked at me in the cashier's office like, you don't shut water off. And that's typically the way the city handled things. Like the city would allow someone's bill to keep, you know, rising, but it would not shut the water off. But here in this article, you know, where a private company comes in that was getting getting millions of dollars in tax breaks to move from Voorhees to Camden, which is only about 8 miles, this company came in and, in a complete reversal of how the city treated residents when it came to something as essential as water, this company is now cutting water off. And that has reverberating effects, as we've seen in, you know, all over the country, but specifically as it impacts, you know, our residents, as it impacts children. So I just found it completely just insulting and disgusting that a company that was paid tens of millions of dollars to migrate or relocate 8 miles to the west, was given brand new facilities and everything, is going about the practice of cutting off residents and students' water off when water was obviously such an essential life force.
Wow. So the impact on the community, obviously, I mean, I can imagine having the water shut off in my house with five kids in the home. That's a crazy thing to do to somebody. On a macro level, though, when you talk about the overall impact on the health of the community, I know that we have with us, as well as on a phone line tonight, we have Vita Neal with the Camden High School PTO, Mangaliso Davis from the African American Commission, and Kevin Barfield from the Camden Parent Advisory Board. Thank you for joining us tonight, comrades. We really appreciate the participation in this discussion.
You're welcome.
All right, no problem. So we wanted to ask you, because you've been involved now for some time and seen what's happening on your block and what's happening in your neighborhood as a result of this new policy of shutting people's water off.
Well, this goes back further than just American Water. I want to talk about the fact that I also used to work, I'm an ex-city employee, and I worked for the water department back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I watched some of my bosses go to jail for the theft of the money to fix the infrastructure of the city of Camden, because we have an all-in-one sewer system. Our sewer system, water system, we still have some wooden pipes that date back to the 1700s and 1800s. They've been misappropriating funds and mismanaging this water and sewer department for years. When they privatized the water department the first time around 25 to 30 years ago, it was about 26 years ago when they did it, they put about a good 75 employees out of work between the water and the sewer department, between 75 and 100 employees out of work. And they invited the water company in, which led to the increase of the prices of the water. But that was for 25 years. Now, what they did is went in and snuck in. It might have been a walk-on with city council, because it's one of the problems that we have in Camden. They do so many walk-ons, which are resolutions and ordinances that they don't even have time to even read. They just
what do you mean by, yeah, what's a walk-on? Some people may not know what that means. What's a walk-on?
Yeah, well, city council does a walk-on. It's a resolution or ordinance that was prepared right away, and they never had time to discuss it or anything.
So they've made decisions about the water in your city. Just made up some shit in a meeting and just threw it out there?
Yes.
Are we expected to believe that, though?
Yes. A lot of laws.
Wow. Wow. Crazy, crazy. And so I want to hear from some of the other people over there as well. You know, I guess Mr. Barfield from the Camden Parent Advisory Board. How have you seen it impact the people around you?
Well, I know for me personally, I remember when American Waters first came in, and my aunt, great aunt, she was a senior citizen. And when I started coming to check her bills, I was seeing how high her water bill was. And I was saying, she's a senior, she's, you know, by herself, you know, no kids, no family or nothing. So it was like, why is her water bill as high as it was? So I called and inquired on it. And then what winds up happening is they come out, the meter was broke, and they was just giving her estimate. After me doing the investigation, come to find out, basically, she has over a year of credit, which she ain't even have to pay a water bill. So, you know, my point is also in reference to with American Water is in reference to, and I know at one point there was a suit against, because they were overcharging and overbilling our residents. And then just like in this situation, like right now, you know, I would be curious and want to know the information in reference to those who were targeted as far as being shut off. Were they individual families that were renting from, you know, from any individual landlords, and how are they, their system, and have their, you know, water meters been checked or updated to keep to make sure that the accuracy within the water, you know, usage is more accurate than just, you know, a truck riding by and scanning, you know, your meter, and then you getting this water bill. You see, it's more to it. It's more to just, you know, a person getting a bill that we still, as a public, have not had American Water come out and do any kind of town hall meeting to explain anything of the inaccuracy in their services since they've had this contract, which has been going on for how many years now? About
25, 26 years.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while. So it's a lot to the story in my eyes. Mm. Mm.
So where are we at today? What is the situation on the ground in Camden? And what are the next steps that people listening to this tonight maybe can help rectify the situation? What do we need to do to bring some community around this issue?
Well, this is Mother Lisa Davis talking.
Yes.
I've been into the environmental justice issue for the last 30 years. We brought the suit against the contaminated water in the Poochet drinking well, and we also forced bottled water into the school system. Well, I'm concerned about these here cutoffs, these of renters in these homes from these landlords have not paid their bills. They take the money from the land, from the people, and don't pay their bill. Now, how it works is, if these people are in a house with no water in it, then by law, the people have to leave the house. And the question then, where are they going to go? We're not dealing with a municipal government or a corrupt. It's a corrupt system. It's a legal enterprise that we're dealing with. We don't have the resources. We have to, those who do fight, they have to fight from here to fight from there, you know, lack of resources. And mobilizing people is not as easy as when you don't have the kind of resources when you're going up against an illegal enterprise. So we plan to try to identify those people who have been cut off that are renters and try to come up with some way to bring these here landlords into court. Now, the rent control used to, they've been out of existence for 15 years, usually brings the residents and the landlord in. That's not going to happen. So you got parents out there with children that are in school, they don't have water. You know, this is a crisis situation. And they try to downplay it. They give these people all this here, these millions of dollars to come to Camden. It was in Atlantic City, they got run out of there with joy. And it's not an easy thing, but we want to try to get our hand around the number of people that who have been affected by that, so we can get legal service involved to bring some kind of legal action for those people who are in those houses with disconnected water. And then the other thing that we're dealing with, the water ain't no good anyway.
Mm.
It's rotten water. You understand?
Yeah.
That's why all the politicians got water coolers in their offices and all their office buildings. They don't drink the water. You understand? So it's a consumer. It's a fraud. You're selling a product that's no good, the water.
That's crazy.
You try to get the count and stuff like that. It's a costly thing to go out and try to do it on yourself to have your water tested. But people have done that, you know? So we got what we're paying for. As a homeowner, we're paying for water that we can't drink. And if you don't pay your water bill, they won't let you pay your tax. So if you get too much back, then you will, as a person on a fixed income or a retiree, then you're up Chick Creek. Because now you're back. Now you got to come up with all this here money to get you, to not lose your home. So it's a push for people out with the contaminated water. So it is a big problem.
You mentioned some success in fighting the same corporation in Atlantic City. I'd like to hear from somebody on that, because I mean, I think it's important that people know that you can win these battles, right? That if you get enough of the right kind of support, that you can win. Did they use legal maneuvers or a lawsuit to get that? And how'd that case play out? Does anybody have a background on that?
On what, the Atlantic City one?
Atlantic City, yeah. Heather's raising her hand.
The Atlantic City one was George took the American Water Company down there. So some people that we knew, we gave them heads up. And the political apparatus of people who are community people, they pushed back and organized and ran them out. But they had not stopped to try to get their toehold in there to rescue, take the water system from the people in the community, because they are hell bent on pushing the people out of Atlantic City as a whole, knock down these public developments and stuff, so they can densify that whole area down there. So, you know, some people, they don't, you know, it's all about church. But I always tell them something that's more powerful than prayer. It's practice. You know what I mean? And we got to get out there and get them educated on what's going on and mobilize them to push back. The faith-based organizations, churches and stuff, they're slow on the draw. You know what I mean? We can't wait on them. And a lot of time in Camden, churches are going up for sale. I see more churches in Camden with sale signs on them because young people are not in there. So we got to work harder without the church.
I appreciate that very much. Keith, you look like you want to jump in there. I'm not sure if,
No, I was just going to say that, Camden is Norcross's power base. It's been like that for about close to 35 years. So going down to Atlantic City is like a different sort of frontier for him. And those folks are not anywhere near, as far as I can tell, as aligned or inclined to just go along with what he says.
Oh, that must annoy poor Georgie.
Yeah. So, yeah. But in a lot of ways, Camden has been is serving to be a dry run as to how, you know, Norcross and a lot of, folks that tend to want to sort of privatize, you know, public services in urban areas, Camden has been a dry runner as to how you do a sort of best practices, so to speak. So some of the things that he was trying to see and take place in Camden, other areas, other urban areas were able to see that stuff, you know, the handwriting on the wall and sort of prepare and mobilize and sort of mount a defense in a way where a lot of residents here may not necessarily have been as well positioned. So I know very similar to what's happening in Camden. I know they're trying in Atlantic City. I know they're trying, certainly in education, they're trying that in Trenton. They're trying to bring this back up. So there, that you see where sort of defenses can work in other places, it really might be because they're able to prepare in a way where Camden, where we might not have been in as best suited a position as they were. Not because we don't want to, but, you know, in terms of political alignment, you know, down here, they got pretty much locked down.
If I could chip in or chime in just a little bit there, it was a very different Atlantic City, because in Camden, now you're having to reverse something that's already happened. like this happened 25 years ago. It hadn't happened yet in Atlantic City. And so it was a massive organization in Atlantic City that there were lawyers, there were the churches, all the community associations, the Green Party, Eastern Service Workers. Everybody was going literally door to door with these petitions that were
and made. The police department.
Yeah, it the was such a major community.
Wow, how about that?
And yeah. Everyone went door to door. We got over 10,000 signatures. Like I, you know, personally was walking all around like Jeffrey Towers and, you know, knocking on doors like, hey, do you want your water to get more expensive, essentially? Would you like to pay more for crappier water? And most people didn't really want to do that. So we managed to get enough signatures to buy, you know, prevent it from happening before the process even started. So it was one of those few wins that we get. It's going to be a harder fight in Camden, though, because it's already happened there. So you have to roll back what they've done.
This is class struggle. I mean, this is really class struggle, isn't it? Norcross has a lot of money, as everybody knows. And we've talked about him a lot. So what is his link to American Water specifically? Why does the world of water have to circle around George? He already owns our political system. What the fuck does he need with Camden and Atlantic City's water systems?
Well, you know, let me ring in on that. You know, certain things that he wants, let you know that it's being gentrified, which is the police department, your education system, and your water. That's gentrification. Let you know that it's here. They want to whitewash Camden and run the people that is currently here out of town. And the things that they are doing in this town is unbelievable. They are putting people out every day, denying Section 8. Section 8 is going out to the suburbs. Yeah, you can get your Section 8 voucher, but you cannot use it in the city of Camden.
Way out in the suburbs, the rural suburbs.
Yes, like Penns Grove and Lindenwall.
No, further down. Echo. Tislehurst, those places where you got to walk 5 miles to get some eggs and milk. If you don't have a car, then you're hostage. And this is what's going on with the move out, you know, if you got nowhere to go. And we all got to fight. This thing is not right. And we try to form alliances, but and not at the expense of giving up who we are for an ideology that's not going to help us get where we need to go.
So you first you have to know that George has his brother there writing legislation for anything that he wants in the 5th Legislative District. His brother Norcross, most recently, they sponsored two bills, S-2722 and in the Senate and in an assembly, 4181, to take over all Camden's existing charter and public schools and make them strictly Renaissance charters, which are failing all over the country. So the Renaissance charters would be Kip Mastery and Uncommon. So he has his brother writing legislation. He's the driving force behind everything that's being done in Camden right now.
And his brother Philip, the other one, is the attorney that does the lobbying. So
that is correct.
A lot of ways you have George, I guess, providing the sort of financial backing and sort of paving the way. And then on one side, and then on the other side, you have Donald, who is the legislator. But the last one who's pretty forgotten is Philip, who is the attorney and the lobbyist that makes all these connections, you know, come to fruition. Like he brought the Sixers here. Like all the things that we see for the New Jersey Economic Development Authority, you know, the EDA, with all those companies coming in, the person who argued those things or lobbied for those things was Philip Norcross. Yeah. So the ties run deep, but it's, this is typical of what you see.
What's that?
But it's typical of what you see in terms of actually what neoliberalization looks like. It's this. It's the privatizing of public service. And all over the place, this is what happened. Privatizing education, privatizing of water, privatizing of public safety, and consolidation in medical services. Here now, Cooper is taking a larger share of of the 911 call. So, you know, like, it's as bad as it sounds without really any hyperbole.
Watching from the outside, and I think, you know, living in more comfortable areas of the state, I guess people ignoring Camden. I mean, you hear a lot about Jersey City up here in North Jersey. You hear a lot about Jersey City development. You hear a lot about Newark development. Everybody always knows AC is getting screwed, but they're always trying something that fails. Why is Camden left out of the state conversation so much? I work in Trenton. I like to think of myself as a guy that's informed about politics. And here we have, like, basically a royal family, as you described, Keith, right? I mean, sitting there making all these decisions, which are affecting everybody in the state, basically. I mean, this guy's on the phone with the governor, like, every day, regardless of who it is, you know? And he's not elected. He's got no fucking business in politics.
That's right.
Why are we not paying attention to this more? I have a theory, but I want to hear other people's theory. Why does this not get attention in the mainstream?
Well, this dynasty has lasted for so long. I mean, I grew up, my family, my uncle was Teddy Hinton, who was the chairman of the Democratic Committee under George for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. Eric Hetty. This dynasty has lasted since 1936. Camden has let the Democratic Committee control this town. And, you know, they have tricks that they play at election time that are unbelievable. The most recent tricks that they play is with the mail-in ballots. They go out to the senior citizen places where the seniors are and get them to do the mail-in ballots. They even have some of the home health aides and people that take care of the seniors fill out the mail-in ballots for them. I mean, this thing from the root of the tree to the top of the tree, George has people in place. And it's hard to beat. Without proper authorities coming in here, noticing, you know, I have seen, like I said, my bosses, me working for as a city employee, I watched my bosses get dragged out and went to jail. Robert Gibson, the Public Works Department, when the feds raided that, and for less than what's going on here now, for less. I'm gonna give you an example, like the Redevelopment Authority is made up of the various businesses that are gonna reap the benefits. These are the people that sit on the board. So you're the one that's going to receive the benefits, and you're the board member directing the money. How much illegal can it get? And when you come to city council and the mayor, and what they're doing is privatizing agencies of the city, turning them over to the county, and also doing these partnerships with public entities. And all of these, regardless of what group it is, EMR, Hotech or whatever, they have some kind of relationship with somebody from Georgia's family or somebody from Georgia's camp sitting on the board directing the flow of the money and contract.
Then you also have a situation where, and this is where the sort of evisceration of journalism really hurts, because where before you might have had an investigative reporter or beat writers that would uncover and dig and sort of make these connections really, really obvious, maybe front page news, and someone would have to
explain. There's no investigative reporters in Camden.
Exactly. There's none. In fact, for the Philadelphia Inquirer, the South Jersey Bureau, I think, only has about 3 reporters. There is no Camden beat writer. So, and the Courier Post is as bare bones as it gets. And that would be our local paper. So there's really little media scrutiny. And on top of that, most of the folks by and large in the city vote Democratic. So it looks like residents are just blindly just, you know, giving assent to the exploitation that's taking place. So it doesn't look like anything is really wrong. But really, you know, there's so much more to the story. You know, we know so much more that what's wrong is not really being covered. And it's hard for people who fancy themselves or align themselves to one political party, when that one political party has been exploiting them for decades, it's like, where's the story? These folks are voting for their own exploitation. So with no investigative reporting and our alignment to the democratic system, specifically here in this county, it's killing democracy here. And we're unlike in Jersey City, where case would be, you have a, there's a lot more journalism up there. You got Star Ledger, and it sort of gets caught up in the New York Times will pick up a Jersey City story, or where case may be, Newark has its own sort of metropolis. We're Camden, we're a population of 77,000 people, and we're in South Jersey. You know, so Philadelphia sort of takes the air out of the room when it comes to media coverage. So as to why, answer your question, as to why it's not covered, it's, I think it's a combination of all those things. And who would cover it? Norcross and Cooper Hospital donate a lot to the newspaper. So Courier Post ain't gonna cover shit. That's critical. So here we are.
We're here on New Jersey Revolution. Right? Exactly. Covering it.
For a reason, you know.
And you know, we're not that big yet, but we are a growing community.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm actually watching the numbers here tonight, and they're pretty good, man. We've had up to 8 or 9 watchers, and usually it's maybe 3 or 4. So you are great guests because you're speaking truth to power in a situation where you don't have enough of that. And this platform is yours as far as I'm concerned, because y'all are fighting as hard as you can. It's the least we can do. You know, so anytime you want to come on and give updates or report on some of this stuff, you know, please feel free.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. We've all witnessed, you know, shady dealings by Democrats, particularly in the South, with votes. I mean, you know, hearing about them paying homeless people to vote and, you know, giving them. I mean, this is real stuff that goes on, and it's verifiable, and we don't talk. Nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it. It's a disgrace. So before we go, and I really wish we had more time, but we all have to get our kids to bed and all that, but I want to make sure that everybody knows how to continue to follow your work, support your efforts. Where can we go? What website should we file? Facebook pages? Anything you guys want to make sure to direct traffic to? We will also include those things in our show notes when this goes out on our website. I guess we should maybe start in the reverse order of the way we went in, right? So let's ask, I believe, Keith, you were the last, so we'll let you do your plugs first.
One thing I think is beginning to change is that, fortunately, like all the folks we got on the line, like we really work really well together, and everyone has a different level of expertise. Like it's really a sort of amazing situation. Like all the folks are online. Like to be in a room with them and you hear them talk, like they're like we educate, you know, well, I certainly learn from everybody. And there's a cohesiveness around folks who want to try and to work to change. It's just difficult. It's really just a matter of the, like picture a real big oak and you just keep on making these slices and you keep on chopping at it. And then eventually, you know, that oak is going to fall, whether it's, you know, for the work that we're doing together, whether we're there to see it or not, with a continuous push, you know, hopefully, you know, the force of exploitation and oppression, you know, will fall. But I think we're beginning to let folks know what's going on.
Yeah, you certainly are. Thank you very much. Vida, last
time. Yes.
Talk. Yes. What can you tell us about how we can continue to build this resistance? I'm not
going to say resistance. Well, you can follow me on Facebook. I have an online page where I blog about everything that goes on in the city of Camden. I'm under the name of Vida Neil, V-I-D-A-N-E-I-L, on Facebook. The situation here in Camden, we have to keep fighting. Us activists here, we put on many pants. I started in a fight as an educational activist, and yet I go from water to education to housing to children being homeless, people need to be getting fed, you know. The issues are so vast here due to all of our lack of resources that Georgia's people, and I mean city council, the mayor, the advisory boards and all that, have taken our resources and given them to the county officials. So wherein we had resources directly for the citizens, now we're just one city of the county because the county owns everything just about in Camden. So it's a hard fight, and we definitely need allies to help us. So anybody can hit me up on Facebook, Vida Neil, and I'll take a friend request.
All right. I put the link to your page on the comments over there, so if people want to click in. Kevin Barfield, how can we reach out to you in the future, and what are your plans going on?
Yeah, well, basically, as was mentioned, I wear, you know, I'm part of a lot of different organizations as far as, you know, those that are involved in the community, such as the NAACP. You know, you can follow our chapter locally or statewide, because we are dealing with a lot of very issues. One of the things that we really didn't get into was a reference to the tax credits that American Water is getting, and then as far as their responsibility of hiring Camden residents. So we're still doing follow-up and trying to get information and data on that. So rather, it's between my Facebook page, Kevin Barfield, or NAACP. You know, we're up on these issues. And like was mentioned, we need people, we need coalitions to join us, because, again, you know, what affects Camden affects all of us. And the one thing about water, water is an international commodity. And if anybody has followed, like, these southern American countries, Peru, they've driven these big water companies out of their countries because of the simple fact of their bills going up. But see, unless people wake up and understand that we as a community, if we come together, we can do the very same thing there. Only thing we can do is educate. You know, your mom always tell you, I can take you to the river, but I can't make you drink the water. Sure. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I messed that paraphrase up, but you know what I'm saying. So, again, Facebook, NAACP, we're on top of the issues. We just want to hope that we get more people to be a part of this, because, like we're saying, if we're being privatized, everyone else is being privatized. And it doesn't make sense for us to be paying for something. The ocean is free. You know what I'm saying? So water is free, air is free. So when does it become that we're having to pay for something that we need to survive as human beings? Something's going on with this picture. So again, just follow us on Facebook. Yeah,
I appreciate that. And I believe Mangaliso Davis, we wanted to hear your final thoughts as well.
Yes, I want to say that anyone that's listening to this voice, our voices, that it is resistance here. We are fighting the things that are not right on a lot of fronts. You know, and we lead by example. We have more credibility than those people who are trying to push us out. So what we had to do is to walk with the left foot forward, to trample down evil so a pure heart can follow. And we plan to call in the task the mayor. After the first of the year, he's subject to a recall. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If 1 year after in office, he might get challenged on that. So he's running the same script. And nobody's listening to him, you know what I mean? But however, we're dealing with a political party that can elect a hand sound. You know? So but we're gonna keep the fight up, and we're gonna be in the game. Yes. You can find me like air. I'm everywhere. So just keep, stay tuned.
Fantastic. You know, look, you guys, all this crew that I have on here tonight, Vida, we've met briefly a couple times at a few different things, and I told you how impressed I was. And I'll tell you, all of this discussion has just been tremendously impressive to me. And it gives me some hope that people are learning how to struggle. And you are teaching them by being on here tonight and by doing what you're doing over these last few years. And I know all of you are involved in probably much more than just this fight. And that's just, it's inspiring. And I hope more people look to you as people that are helping, you know, shape a community for the better. Thank you for joining me. I really do appreciate it. Heather, what's coming up?
Thanks for the opportunity.
No problem. Appreciate it. Heather, what's coming up on Wine, Women, and Revolution? What's going on next?
My next episode on Monday is going to be with an author or with a photographer, Wendell White from Stockton, who has done an amazing work with his project. Is called Manifest, where he's taking objects of African-American life, things from like a lock of Frederick Douglass's hair to a Katrina door to actual shackles, and going and photographing them in this very beautiful, timeless way and bringing that out to the public. He also has done a series on black schools. He's done think there's three or four other things that he's working on, but mostly the Red Summer project that he's working on. And, you know, that definitely ties in with, you know, the class struggles and Red Summer, you know, race and class struggles. So he's an amazing author, an amazing photographer. And, you know, hopefully we've got that 100th episode coming up.
Yes.
And I want to keep working on stuff like this. Like, I want to go out to Camden and, like, talk to all of these people one-on-one and join the struggle there. So that's kind of where we need our listeners to come in and help us a little bit there, that, you know, yeah. It's hard when you don't take any of the corporate money.
You know, we do the interviews and we do the podcast, but the most satisfying work for me as an organizer is hearing about these community struggles and even being a little involved with them, as we have with Randy in your neck of the woods. I can't remember what town it's. Sorry, Ventnor. And, you know, Jacqui in Ocean. You know, so it's nice to be involved in community struggle. You know, the people that we work with here on New Jersey Revolution Radio are working class people. There's no corporate members of our board or anything like that. You know, for the most part, we all have day jobs. We go to work. We, in general, a lot of people do something they don't like. I get to do something I like, but most people, you know, that work is not something they love to do every day. You know, but, you know, and then we spend our time here working on this organization to hopefully, you know, raise up these voices. And I think it's important. One thing I've always said is that communists make terrible capitalists, and we do. Raising money, we hate asking for it. Heather and I had a meeting over the weekend where we just yelled at each other about how we didn't want a phone bank and we didn't want to do anything and we didn't want to ask people for money. But you know what? We have to. The bottom line is, if we have a little capital, we can promote this kind of work at another level. So if you have a few dollars and you're hearing this, please give it to us, www.njrevolutionradio.com. And we also have a GoFundMe out there, and I'll provide that in the comments as well.
And I also just wanted to thank everybody for being on the panel tonight. Vita, you know, I've spoken with her at the Women's Forum out for DSA, and I follow her, and she is always, like, so on top of things, like school lunches at charter schools, like everything. Vita's involved in it, and I really love following her, so I advise everyone to follow her on Facebook.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great night. Thank you for tuning in here to New Jersey Revolution Radio. We'll see you next week at 8:00 p.m. We are going to talk to a guy that's writing about how our pro-military Democrats are not just a problem here in New Jersey, but they are around the country. We're going to talk about all those quote-unquote progressive Democrats that are running for Congress this year. I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.